When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Back and better than ever, Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. Oh, what a spirited morning we just had on Get Up, and it will continue here. We're smashing pancakes the way the Phillies are smashing fastballs. Interesting Monday night game last night. Cowboys, are they too conservative or are they just where they need to be? Time to get all the answers. Let's do this.
Here we go!
Only one place to start.
Herbert gets rid of it, and he's picked. Intercepted by the Cowboys. And Gilmore's the one who got it.
Guys played their ass off, offense, defense. They came up with a huge play right there. Something we can build off of.
And there we go. The Cowboys finding a way. It was the great Jim Valvano who used to say, survive in advance. And that is what the Cowboys did last night. It was not an artistic masterpiece on Monday Night Football. But on a weekend where the 49ers couldn't find a way to win and the Eagles couldn't find a way to win, among the better teams in that NFC, it is the Cowboys who go on the road and get a win they needed. Sal Palantonio and Dominique Foxworth good enough to hang out after we wrap up. Get up. And Sal, I think you were the one who said it. I can sit here and pick apart a million different things. You liked that win for the Cowboys last night.
Yeah, I do, especially given the circumstances within the context of the season and within the context of the way the Cowboys had played in the past. You know, they had just lost, got waxed by the 49ers, got embarrassed, and then they had to hear about it all week long. Mike McCarthy and Dak Prescott and Jerry Jones. They needed to get things under control, find a way to win. They have to look down the road, right? They have to look at, listen, we want to dethrone the Philadelphia Eagles as the division champs. We know we're going to play them twice. That we still have to play them twice. We got to go to Philly on November 5th. Let's get things under control and find ways to win close football games. Was it too conservative for some people? Sure, I could definitely see that. But at some point, you may have to let the dogs loose. But in that game, in those circumstances, I could understand what Mike McCarthy did.
Hello, my name is Some People. I get it. They got a win.
And I didn't mean that.
It's fine. You're not going to hurt my feelings. They found a way to win, which is important. I agree. But I do think that this is indicative of the way they've been playing all season, and I think that's not a way to win a championship, which is what they want to do. And as a decision before the season, they got rid of Kellen Moore because he was a little bit too aggressive offensively, and Mike McCarthy was determined to take over the offense and, frankly, make it more conservative. And this was, it felt like a reaction to Dak's aberration of a season, interceptions. And so, to me, it does not give them the best chance to win a championship, but you're absolutely right. If this was the only way that they felt they could win this game, you have to win this game and figure it out going forward. But the problem is, this is how they've been playing all season, and we saw how that resulted when they played an actual NFC contending team. It resulted in them not being competitive.
Yeah, it got obliterated.
It got away from early. They were down early, forced to play one-dimensional football.
They're built to play with the lead. Last night, the game was sort of hovering around even most of the night. Right. And Mike McCarthy played to try and win it by 3 points, which is exactly what they did. Hembo will be with us in as usual in about 15 minutes. In the meantime, Hembo, I'm calling upon you because he's in the room to do a little homework here. The numbers on scoring being down in the NFL this season, I need as much context on that as we can today because I think it's really interesting. Sal, you were making this point that this is a league now which has been pass happy for the last, 15, 20 years. As analytics have become more and more a thing, people have realized it's so much more efficient to throw the ball like crazy. But this season, we are seeing those numbers come way down. Certainly, anecdotally, it just feels like all these games are being played in the teens and the 20s. What are you seeing? Why is that the case? And what does it mean as we go forward?
Forgive me, because I like to steal something that you do.
Yeah.
Which is, let's look at big picture and little picture at the same time, right? So let's look at big picture. What's happening in the National Football League? Pass protection is weaker. The numbers show it, and anecdotally, it is true. for whatever reason. They're not hitting in training camp. They're not hitting in practice. Injuries on the offensive line, whatever it is. Blitzing is up just a little bit. But so that is contributing to the fact that scoring is down. Big picture, what are we doing? You're not throwing the ball down the field. You're not doing what you're supposed to do when you have quarterbacks who are making $35, $45, $50 million a year. Here you have Justin Herbert. Let's just take away from the Cowboys for 1 second. Justin Herbert's making a gazillion dollars a year, and he scored 17 points. And the way that he did it was dink and dunk down the football field, and they couldn't protect him. So what are you doing with these young quarterbacks? You're paying them a lot of money. You're paying Jalen Hurts a lot of money. He wasn't protected in that football game against the Jets. You're paying Dak Prescott a lot of money. He's not throwing the football down the field. Quarterbacks were built to throw the ball down the field, and they're not doing it. So the NFL has kind of been turned on its head, Michael.
The difference in that game last night was Justin Herbert missed open receivers that were downfield because they did take shots downfield, but Justin Herbert was inaccurate. Dak Prescott scrambled around and made plays. Pollard made that one big play. Dak had two plays where he bought time and found people deep downfield. So to your point, yeah, you're going to have to get chunks to get scoring. As far as the whole league is concerned, I think we have a lot of young quarterbacks. I think the pass protection is a good point. The defenses and the pass rushers, there's like 12 guys in this league who would have been like the best pass rusher in football 15 years ago. So that's
a
different
point.
However, this is 1 year and the trend has been consistent. I'm less likely to jump to conclusions and say now this is the new NFL. No, this is the beginning of this season in football.
Well, maybe what I like about doing the two shows that I do, about doing Get Up and now doing this, and Get Up, we move fast right. and you know, we have our fun. But on this show, I think we can go a little bit further beneath the surface. So let's get into what Sal just said. The impact, and you were a part of the you know, you were the president of the Players Association. The impact of not hitting as much as they used to hit. One would think we'll have fewer injuries as a consequence. But is it possible that the only way to be ready to deal with all of the, you know, the beating that you take by playing a football season is to start taking that beating and have it regularly? I guess what I'm asking you is why it feels like injuries are at a premium. Offensive linemen, maybe because they just fling the ball all over the place in college. Why is pass protection so bad?
Yeah, I can't answer the question definitively about why pass protection is so bad. I can defend the idea of less hits. It's like it's hits to the head. Like, that's what
right.
it comes down to.
For sure.
So, like, and the league has not gotten worse in this time period. So, like, anyone who would argue that the problem is they aren't hitting enough in practice has not been watching the growth and the popularity and the success of football.
Fair.
I don't think that the injuries matter as, or I don't think the hitting matters as much as injuries. If you're going to hit more, you're going to give people more opportunities to get injured. I do think that maybe it could degrade, and I don't have any evidence to support this, but this is an argument I could accept, is that maybe it could degrade the offensive line readiness in football or in the games once you get to the season. That's
right.
A possibility. But the trade-off to me seems like a fair one.
100%. 100%. So I didn't mean it that way because
right.
anything that creates fewer concussions is worth doing regardless of what other, you know, Peter you're paying Paul or whatever that expression is. Okay, let's go to the next piece. We feel like we are in a golden age of young quarterbacks, right? I mean, we are overrun with guys who have been drafted high in the first round in recent years, did huge things in college. How is that contributing to it? Are they not as good as we thought? Are they playing so young that they're getting bad habits? What the football seems sloppier this year than usual.
This is where I would say the sample size matters, is we're 6 weeks into this season.
Right.
We wouldn't have had this conversation if we're talking about the last 5 or 10 years.
Right.
Like, Hurts was great last year. Allen
but
was great last year.
But he ran so much.
But that's
my point. So the young quarterbacks that are coming into the league, a huge part of what they do so well is
right.
run. And now Anthony Richardson is out for the year, right? So the owners who are now paying Jalen Hurts, whatever, was he getting? $50 million
yep.
a year? Sal, he has to ask himself, do I want to run him designed runs 6 times a game every week and take a chance he's going to get hurt, or do a little bit less of that, maybe win one fewer game over the course of the regular season, but put my quarterback in harm's way a little bit less? Is that what we're seeing?
Well, let's talk specifically about Jalen Hurts. Hembo gave me the numbers. The Eagles are now throwing the ball much more mm-hmm. on first down than they did last year. They are running Jalen Hurts less this year than they did last year. So those are the numbers, whether it's on purpose or whether this is what defense is presenting. You know, Jalen Hurts is the most blitzed quarterback in the National Football League. It's not even close. He was blitzed 40% of the time. They're blitzing him on rundowns and they're blitzing him on pass downs. They're coming after him. But they weren't getting to him because the offensive line was playing so well. But now that you have injuries on the offensive line, that's an issue. Here are the numbers. Last year, 68 different quarterbacks played in the NFL, started games. That's the most in NFL history.
Yeah.
This year, we're seeing it already. Baker Mayfield has a cut. Justin Field has a problem. Trevor Lawrence is not practicing. Richardson's going to be out for the year. You have a lot of Aaron Rodgers gets out in four plays.
Yeah.
So you've got injuries at the quarterback position.
Daniel Jones.
The way to survive in advance, going back to your original point, the way to survive in advance is to have your quarterback available at the end of the year. You've got to protect these quarterbacks. And maybe as a result, I'm just saying, they're becoming more conservative on offense.
Possibly. There are trade-offs in everything we do in life, every decision that we make. And I think your point about the modern offense, all modern offenses seem to have a quarterback that it can at least run the zone read. Like Patrick Mahomes is capable of doing it, has done it in the past. They don't do it anymore. All the quarterbacks, even the most pockety passers of pocket passers, can do that. What comes with that is more pressure on the defense, but it also exposes your quarterback to hits. So what you need to find is players who are able to avoid those type of hits. There are players who are capable of not taking those big hits. Even though Lamar has missed a bunch of games the last couple seasons, he's one who comes to mind. Or players like Josh Allen, who it doesn't matter. And I think we thought Anthony Richardson was that type of guy. It'll accumulate. So Josh Allen may... the end of his career may look like Cam Newton's end of his career. But right now, it doesn't seem like there is an amount of hits that's going to slow him down significantly. And quarterbacks do get hurt in the pocket also. So I think it's the kind of perfect quarterback that is not going to take extra hits, but is also going to threaten the defense with his leg. It doesn't exist. So if you're going to play modern football, you need a quarterback who's going to be able to scramble.
And you're right. It's not one size fits all, right? Let's look at the last couple of Super Bowl winners at the quarterback position. Tom Brady, 43 years old, wins with a great defense and Todd Bowles' defense. Patrick Mahomes can win off script.
Yeah.
He is the Nirvana. He is the dual threat quarterback who can win from the pocket. Yep. He's the gold standard as far as quarterbacks is concerned. Matthew Stafford, pocket passer. Yep. So those are the differences that you have at the quarterback position. Jalen Hurts nearly won it last year.
It was great.
Very close. Dual threat quarterback. He was the number one pocket passer in the NFL last year, and he nearly won way he played.
And if you think of Patrick Mahomes, and even in that Super Bowl, some of the most pivotal plays that he makes is him running. Like running for 15 yards out of nowhere, 12 yards out of nowhere, 20 yards out of nowhere. It's an asset that every modern quarterback, I feel like, has to have.
I hope that the statistics would back up what I'm about to say, because I don't know it. But it feels like he runs with the ball a lot more in the playoffs than he does in the regular season, right? Mahomes we're talking about. Yeah. I feel like in the playoff games, when everything is on the line, I'm thinking about a game against Houston a few years ago where he ran. He makes huge plays running with the ball.
But the sample
he doesn't
size,
do it in the regular season.
Going back to what Dominique, sample size, let's go back to the Super Bowl. He had an ankle injury. The Eagles did not expect him to evacuate the pocket, and he did anyway. So that, I think, is a bit of an aberration, and he won to Dominique's point. He won because it was a deception that was built in.
And so I guess I'd ask the final question, because it began with the Cowboys this morning. If you had to right now bet that palatial estate of yours, Sal, in suburban Philadelphia, or yours, Neek, in Washington, D.C., on the team that will come out of the NFC to play in the Super Bowl this year, who would you bet it on right now?
I hate to do this with Sal sitting right next to me, but I think it would be the Eagles. I would rather disagree with you.
You're going to say the Eagles, too.
Why would you rather disagree with me?
It's more fun.
It's just more fun. Dominique is a contrarian. No matter what you say, he lives to disagree with you.
Just challenge it.
No, I think it's tight. I really do. You know, this is going to be a really interesting dogfight going down the stretch, and the team that's healthy is the team that's going to win it. And I think, in the end, it's the team with the best quarterback in the conference, and that's Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles.
All right, guys, you are the best. Thank you so much. Sal, a pleasure to see you. We will see you, if not before, Sunday night when the Dolphins come into town in what should be a terrific game. This is Greeny, presented by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs. for protection on the road and on the water. See how much you can save at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. Coming up next, we will explain how Archie Manning was the biggest winner in the NFL last night. Yes, I said Archie Manning. That's next on ESPN Radio.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Greeny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Greeny, GREENY.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by.
Greeny, the podcast.
All right, the assembled members of the hashtag crew have assembled around me. Hembo is here. Bubba and Cam are in Bristol. I bought myself this new, like, you know, I have my, Hembo knows what I eat for breakfast every day. I've got my yogurt. I got my Greek yogurt. And I bring in like some kind of trail mix or nut mix or something like that to put with it. Make myself a little yogurt parfait.
Quite the concoction.
That's my breakfast.
Really is.
I put a lot of time and energy into it every
sure
morning.
Sure do.
And it's very good, and it's very healthy.
We start the meeting late every day because of this, by the way.
So I tried a new one that I got at Whole Foods on this weekend. And it's one of those where you just kind of pull down the lever and it falls and dumps into a plastic bag. Because it had like zero added sugar, and so I thought it would be very good. And it was delicious. But as soon as I finished eating it, I felt myself getting itchy. Like, can you see my hands are all red?
Yeah, you're breaking out a little bit.
I'm allergic to some nuts, I guess there must have been some in there because I am really itchy right now.
Like, is there any sign that you noticed that warns of nut allergy?
I tend to shop like with AirPods on and listening to music, which is a mistake because I know what I'm grabbing, so I just kind of grab things and go through it. So there may well have been a sign. I just didn't look at it.
You couldn't have heard the nuts. You could have seen a sign while listening to your AirPods.
No, I get that, but I'm just not really focused.
You're distracted.
Is what I'm saying.
When you shop for nuts, you're distracted.
So what I'm trying to say is, do you have any Benadryl, an EpiPen?
We probably do have something here in our medical one of those buckets or boxes attached to a wall. But I think those are really in case of emergency. Is this an emergency?
I hope not. Like, I don't think so. But I'm increasingly itchy.
Yeah.
Like, every part of me, I can't stop scratching.
You're not normally a very irritable person, but right now you're like a little squirmy.
Yeah.
You're squirmy.
I am irritable, but I'm not usually itchy. and right now I am itchy. Okay, in the meantime, I will do my best to remain focused here as best I can.
Mine is that sort of rare genius that will not be fully appreciated until long after its time. A genius, you said?
You're a genius.
He's a genius, eh?
We're not going to appreciate your brilliance until you're gone.
Brilliant.
Yeah, once again, I was right. I told you yesterday that I guarantee you the Chargers will have the ball late in the game in their own territory. Justin Herbert trying to mount a drive for his life last night, because every single Charger game goes that way. It goes that way with Herbert. It went that way with Philip Rivers. That team cannot, that organization cannot get out of its own way. And one of the primary reasons for it is the ownership. They are just notoriously cheap. They don't do anything right with the coaches. How that guy is still the coach there, I have no idea. And so that's what I meant when I said Archie Manning was the biggest winner in the NFL last night. He said, you know what? My kid's not going to San Diego. My kid's not going to go play for the Spanos family. He's going to go play in New York for the Giants. And I think that has proved to be 100% right. Again, Justin Herbert threw his 13th career interception in the fourth quarter of a one-score game last night. That is five more than any other quarterback in the league since he got there. The Chargers now have nine losses by 3 points or less since Brandon Staley took over as head coach. That is tied for the most in the league since he got there. They're in every game because they are talented, but they are badly coached, and they wind up finding a way to lose. You know the expression, find a way to win? That team finds a way to lose.
So that was, I think, very much like a median Chargers game. I find this stat that I looked up to be hilarious. I'm going to make you guess. So last night was Justin Herbert's 55th NFL start.
Yeah.
That includes the one playoff game. How many of those, what percentage of those 55 games do you think have been one-score games? Games decided by 8 points or fewer on either end?
I mean, a ridiculously high number. So it's been 55 starts?
55 total starts.
I mean, what is the league average? How many games, generally speaking, are decided by that?
That's going to be a little bit less than half, I'm going to say.
Okay,
probably,
yeah.
Between 40 and 50%.
That sounds right. So theirs is going to be higher. So are you going to tell me it's whatever 66% would be? So something like 38 of the 55.
39 of the 55.
Okay, yeah.
71% of his NFL games have looked just like last
night.
Yeah,
that's how they play every week.
It's a verb. Chargers a verb. Chargers a verb.
They are chargering. They chargered last night. That's what they always do. I'm telling you, that team, they should never have moved out of San Diego. They've got everything wrong over there, and that's why Archie Manning was 1,000% right. They play in a stadium where no one roots for them. They play in a city where no one roots for them. All their old fans in San Diego hate them now for the way they handle that. They are like the NFL's version of, like, vagabonds. It's ridiculous. And they're wasting, just as they did with Philip Rivers, the career of a Hall of Fame quarterback. Justin Herbert is definitively a Hall of Fame talent. Think about what, if he was in Miami with Mike McDaniels right now.
Oh, my goodness.
If he was in, who were the other quarterbacks in that draft? Who's the Zach Taylor, smart coach from the Sean McVay tree? You bring in Brandon Staley, who was a defensive coach, and they can't even play defense.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that is a mess. Archie Manning was the biggest winner last
year. So, obviously, the Mannings had enough clout, had enough gravity to pull that off. But do you think we could see it again? We haven't really seen it since, have we? In any sport? At least not that I can think of to that extent.
Just saying, I'm not going there?
Yeah, could Caleb Williams or even Drake May, with the first overall pick, let's say they don't want to go play for Arizona or Chicago,
because it won't be the Chargers, to be clear.
Right.
They're not going to have the worst record.
But, you know, fill in NFL team that I don't want my kid to play for.
Yes!
They could pull it off.
Absolutely. And now more than ever, how much money do we think Caleb Williams is making right now?
Millions.
He's in every commercial.
Millions.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch he's in the Heisman House commercials. He's sitting there with Tim Tebow and Barry Sanders and, you know, Tebow and Eddie George. And, you know, Tim has got to help everybody out. And he's got another commercial. He's got two major national ad campaigns.
The face of Wendy's.
What's the other one where he's sitting there in someone's living room and they come in? Is that all?
Well, there's one Wendy's commercial that I remember well.
So my point is, whatever it is, he's making huge amounts of money.
Mm-hmm.
Huge.
But so to me, it has less to do with money, though, than it has to do with power. Like, I don't know that he, like, with the Manning situation, like, that's obviously like a royal family.
No, but that's the power. The power is to say, the reason you go to the NFL is because you need the money. Caleb Williams can say, you know what, I can wait one more year and make just as much money here.
Well, you can't make just as much money.
Well, you can make a lot of money.
So let's unpack this then, because you're not going to make as much, but you can still make millions of dollars by staying in school.
Right.
You're not guaranteeing yourself a better situation, though, by waiting. What his agent would say is, you're also delaying the clock on your second contract. So you might then be leaving even more money
on the
table.
But you know who doesn't get the second contract?
Who's that?
The ones who get drafted by terrible teams with terrible coaching and terrible organizations and have their careers ruined. You think Sam Darnold right now wishes he hadn't stayed in school another year and went into a different situation than getting drafted by a team that had Adam Gase and then fired him 10 minutes later and then brought in a new coach and rebuilt twice around him in the 3 years that he was there? The situation into which you were drafted is everything to these quarterbacks, and their second contract is worth 10 times what their first is. You are well worth it to make sure you handpick the situation you go into.
So I don't disagree with that fundamentally, but I also don't think it's obvious to pinpoint which situations are good and bad, because, for example, I would have thought for sure that Joe Burrow should have pulled that off in 2020. Cincinnati has been a laughingstock, and talk about notoriously cheap franchises. I mean, right. They once celebrated getting big towels in their bathrooms, right? As you have legendarily said.
Yes, on our show, yeah.
Right. So that's a situation that Joe Burrow comes in, becomes a force multiplier, and has him in the Super Bowl almost immediately. I would have never thought in a million years that he could pull that off. So all I'm saying is, maybe that Chargers situation with Eli was a unique one based upon the set of circumstances.
Maybe. I mean, John Elway famously did it. He threatened to go play baseball. There have been a few of those examples, but not that many. Cam tells me he's got something. Good morning, hashtag Cam.
Good morning. I know this won't happen because they have the quarterback, but I so badly want to live in a world where in a couple years the Chargers have the first overall pick and they need a quarterback and Arch Manning is set to go number one overall. And Archie's like, nope, not doing it again. We're waiting for another team. I want that so bad.
Well played.
It's guaranteed to happen. Guaranteed to happen. If they wind up in that spot, look, I mean, that'll be what, 3 years from now, let's call it? He's
a redshirt freshman,
right? Started, so it'll be a couple years.
But 3 years. He needs to be 3 years removed from graduating from high school.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 3 years from now. Am I doing the math?
It'll be the 2026 draft, yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, look, anything could happen between now and then. Like, Sean Payton wanted to be the coach of the Chargers. Sean Payton wanted to stay there in L.A. He loves the weather. He loves the lifestyle. He loves Justin Herbert. They weren't willing to pay him. And instead, they stayed with Brandon Staley. They're guaranteed to do nothing this year. They're guaranteed to be 8-9 or 9-8, maybe squeeze into the back of the playoffs and blow a 31-0 lead in a playoff game. I mean, that's basically the way they go about their business. So that's where they stand as of right now. In the meantime, I want to get to a few other numbers here. A reminder, if you can't hear the entire program today, look, here's the first choice. First choice is you sit with us for 2 hours every day and we hang out. But if you miss anything, here's a couple of ways you can catch up on it. Our podcast is available every day, both hours of the show. The Greeny Podcast, available daily wherever you get your podcasts. You also can watch our show on the ESPN app. Just click on watch, look for hashtag Greeny, and we hope you will enjoy.
The Scoop.
All right, The Scoop, here are the numbers. In the NFL this season, they are averaging 21.7 points per game. If that were to hold up, it would be the lowest in a season since 2009. So a 14-year low. Hembo, what are the reasons?
That's a really loud number, especially in a league for which over the last 14 years, every rule has been geared towards providing more offense. So there are a couple sort of interesting inputs here that I would say. The first of which is, naturally, quarterback play is down. So our QBR metric, which is the single best metric of its kind, it tracks quarterback play 0 through 100 and grades every quarterback on every play with the context. It's the best number of its kind. The league-wide QBR this year is 52.4. That would be the lowest in any season in the history of the metric. That dates to 2006. So the quarterback play you're watching right now is the worst it's been league-wide in a generation.
So how if at all, are they able at these metrics mm-hmm. to factor in pass protection?
That's my next point.
Okay.
I have one more number before we unpack
Go.
This. So our win rate stats, which tracks every single snap and every single player on both lines of scrimmage, here's what it says. The league-wide pass block win rate this season, so just pass protection, is 55.7. For context, that would be the lowest in a season since 2017. And year over year, like the figure last year, was considerably higher than it is right now. So it should be no surprise that if we're seeing the worst quarterback play that we've seen in a generation, that offensive line play is really down. Like in some sense, even though it's not that sexy or interesting to talk about, like if you have a really, really, if you have good big uglies up front, if you have five guys that you trust, that is going to be the single biggest separating factor between the haves and the have-nots this season based upon the sort of current scoring environment.
That's why I love Detroit so much. But here's what it also add up to. You know who is rich today? You know which people are rolling in dough? People who have been betting the under this season. Listen to this statistic. If you just played the under in every NFL game this past weekend, there were 15 games because two teams had byes. So going back to Thursday night through Monday night, if you just played the under in all 15 of those games, you would have gone 12-2-1. That's 86% winning percentage. It would be the highest percentage of games going under in a single week since 1996. For the season, the under is 56-35-2. 61% for the under this year. That's the highest under percentage through 6 weeks since 1991. So not only are they scoring fewer points than usual, they're scoring fewer points than Vegas is allotting them. The people who really know what's going to happen, even they think they're going to score more points than this. So scoring is way down. So to bring it all the way back full circle, does that then suggest that it makes more sense to play more conservatively offensively? We are big, you and I, Hembo, both, on going forward on fourth downs, coaching to win, being aggressive, going for touchdowns. Does this suggest, with scoring low and all of that, that anywhere you can get safe points, anywhere you don't make the big mistake, that it actually this season makes more sense?
That's the way that teams are playing, even though I disagree with it. The best way to demonstrate that is the fact that red zone performance is way down. Teams are much more prone to settle for three, even in the red zone, than they are to trust their quarterback to throw the ball into the end zone and potentially turn the ball over, because teams are running the ball, oddly enough, a lot more in the red zone. But I actually think, to answer your question indirectly, that it's going to be teams like Miami and teams like Kansas City and Philadelphia that can really, really pass protect that are going to be the difference makers. The teams, the coaches that are actually willing to play aggressively. Because yes, even though the environment is more congested down at the bottom, I think the teams at the top of that food chain, the teams that can separate themselves offensively, are going to be the ones that wind up ruling the day.
This is Greeny, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your motorcycle, RV, boat, ATV, and more. All your protection in one place. Bundle and save at progressive.com. Let's bring hashtag Bubba into the conversation. He is our resident Cowboy fan. And Bubba, if this is a good moment, I don't mean to bother you from, you know, take you away from anything else you may be doing. Mm-hmm. But if you have a moment, we'd love to hear your perspective on your beloved Cowboys and their win last night that we, for the most part, spent most of the morning picking apart like it had been a loss.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I was surprised at how many people on the get upset thought the Cowboys played well last night. I just thought it was a terrible game to watch and just awful. Like, it's one of the games you always reference. If they were playing in your backyard, you'd close the shades. Like, yeah. It was just brutal to watch. Going back to personnel decisions, I think the decision for the Cowboys to choose Michael Gallup over Amari Cooper is going to go down as one of the worst moves they've done in recent memory. Gallup is finished, and Amari just continues to be great. They just don't have enough weapons right now on the offense. CeeDee Lamb is great, but he's the only one doing anything. Cooks did okay, but, I mean, Gallup is just terrible right now, and that decision is just going to come back to haunt us. And McCarthy stuff, I don't know. He's been regressing so much right now with the play calling and the conservativeness. I don't know what's going on. I mean, sometimes it's okay to be conservative, but the second and long runs, this dates back to Kellen Moore. They would do this all the time. Second and nine, you hand off, and then it's third and long. They do this all the time. The end of the first half, I have no idea what he was doing. That was embarrassing. You have no faith in your quarterback. That made no sense. I mean, in the end, basically Dak won the game in spite of everything else that was going wrong. And this is why it's all these times it makes me hard to quit Dak, because every time you want to quit him, he won this game basically in spite of everyone else. And in the end, Dak, CeeDee Lamb, Parsons, Gilmore, the individual players made one play to win that game. But I thought overall the Cowboys played poorly. So many penalties. It was a very poor effort overall, coming off a game they needed to win, and I was disappointed about how bad they played.
I'm glad to hear you say that, just to the extent that I was expecting sort of a blanket defense on the part of a fan of a Cowboys win that I thought was unimpressed. All right, we have much more on that as we go. We're going to give Hembo a green light for some baseball as well. But right now, it's everybody's favorite. A little trivia today. Sneaky Hembo, let's do it.
We find ourselves in the LCSs across baseball. Obviously, Derek Jeter has played the most games in the ALCS. I found this interesting. Who has played the most games in NLCS history?
All right, I like the question. The answer is next. You're listening to Greeny on ESPN Radio. Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Greeny, the podcast.
Greeny with you as always, live above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17, surrounded by the members of the hashtag crew, Bubba, Cam, and Hembo. Speaking of whom?
Wow, okay, and how are your trivia skills?
This is Sneaky Hembo Trivia.
Regular sneaky or extra sneaky?
Sneaky Hembo, go. All right, Hembo's got a baseball question today. Let's do it again.
Who has played the most games in the history of the NLCS?
How many games did Jeter play in the AL?
54.
54. So that's the all-time record. What is the National League record? Sort of like Pete Rose has the National League record for most consecutive games with a hit, right?
The National League.
He has that game. The National League record for most consecutive games with a hit. Okay, I've already locked in my guess, so I don't have to go first. Go ahead, Bubba. Who is your guess?
I'm having a real tough time with this one.
Can I mention one thing quickly, though? Because I asked it during the break. I hope you guys heard it. Starting pitchers don't count. To the extent that, like, if you wanted to guess, I'm just making a name up, Clayton Kershaw.
Sure.
If his team's played 50 LCS games, he only played the 8 that he pitched in.
Right.
So it isn't going to be a starting pitcher.
I'm going to go Andrew Jones.
Cam, who do you got?
I'm probably going to regret this because they didn't play as many games. I just know he was on a lot of really good teams, but I'm actually going to go with Pete Rose.
Okay, Pete Rose is not bad, but part of his career came so early. I was going to go Chipper Jones. I am going to go Chipper Jones because I couldn't think of anyone else who I thought was on more of those Braves teams than he was. But Andrew Jones is a good guess. all right, but I got to stay with my answer. All right, we got one guess for Chipper Jones. We got one guess for Andrew Jones. And we got one guess for Pete Rose. And the answer is
Yadier Molina.
That sucks.
Come on.
How many did he play in?
Yadier Molina played in 39. Chipper Jones played in 34. Pete Rose played in 28. And Andrew Jones played in 27.
Okay. So we were
good guesses.
Two through four.
We had the right guesses.
I feel like that happens a lot. We miss the first answer, but we get two through four. So we're covering our bases.
Yeah, we had the right guesses. Wow.
Yeah. Those Cardinal teams, they made it to a couple of World Series. I guess I forget that they were in the LCS a bunch more times than I guess I'm thinking of. How many years are we talking
about? Let me pull up his postseason. Because, for the first time, he made it in 2004. 05, 06, 11, 12, 13, and 19.
That is a lot.
And so Albert Pujols is also high on the list, naturally.
Yeah. What year did he go to Anaheim?
2012. That was, yes, 2012, because right after they won the World Series.
So he missed part of that.
Yeah, he did.
So part of that run. And Lord knows he hasn't been back there with that. Okay, good. So all right, that's a good question. So, Cam, update the standings.
So we have now played a full NFL season of trivia, and I hate to break it to you guys. None of us are making the playoffs, and you and Bubba might be fighting for the number one overall pick. I am 6-11. You guys are 4-13. So not great from the hashtag crew right now. And Cuban and Dominique Foxworth are 0-1.
Okay, those are the numbers. As we speak, in the meantime, let's give Hembo the green light.
I'm ready to go right now.
Green light with Greeny.
Give me the green light.
Hembo and Cam in their glory with their Phillies once again mashing last night. Talk to me.
This Phillies lineup is remarkably dangerous, especially in that building. Schwarber homer to lead off the game on the very first pitch before the TBS crew even had a chance to put the score bug up. Harper went, and then Castellanos hit a homer later in the game. This is my favorite note of the day, courtesy of Stats and Info. Between Castellanos and Harper, they've now combined for 8 home runs in their last 3 games. That is the most by any pair of teammates in any 3-game span within a single postseason. The previous record was 7 home runs by Lou Gehrig and Babe Ruth in 1928.
Wow.
That's how hot the Phillies in their lineup is right now. And one more note just to provide, again, with Babe Ruth and Gehrig as our historical context. Bryce Harper's career slugging percentage now in the postseason is up to .652. That's third all-time behind Ruth and Gehrig. We are watching a generational talent at the peak of his power.
Well, you said the other day something that was interesting. Baseball is just so different. The place that it occupies in our culture is so different. Bryce Harper was every bit as much hyped up coming into baseball as LeBron James was coming into basketball, as Victor Wembanyama is this year. Who else am I thinking of? Like, what other people would fall into that category of people who came into a professional sport?
Serena,
yeah. I mean, I remember Venus playing in a tournament somewhere, and they were interviewing her and asking her about her toughest challenges, and she said, well, the best player is my sister, and we hadn't even seen her yet. But individual sports are kind of different. And in particular, women's tennis, a lot of the players, they play so young.
How much about the hockey guys?
Super young. Yes, hockey falls in this. Clearly, Wayne Gretzky, I mean, we did this in the book. When he was something like 8 years old, he was being compared to Gordie Howe, and he exceeded the hype. What I'm trying to say is, baseball, we just don't think of it that way. But the truth is, Bryce Harper is every bit as much living up to the impossible hype as pretty much anyone else we've had in sports in recent years.
I think Reggie Jackson is going to wind up being a great comparison for him. Like, Reggie Jackson is not one of the, I don't know, 15 or 20 greatest baseball players of all time. He's not even especially close to being like that kind of player, that caliber of player. But very few players had a greater career than Mr. October did. I mean, he has those like legendary, indelible moments that so few players in baseball history have. If you're a great quarterback, you have those. You know, if you're a superstar, like an all-time immortal type in the NBA, you have those. But there are so many all-time great baseball players that either didn't live up to the hype in the postseason or never had the chance. Like, Ted Williams is the greatest hitter that ever lived. He played in one World Series and didn't have an extra base hit in it. Mike Trout has never played in a postseason win. So for Bryce Harper, who I think is slowly but surely becoming the face of baseball in a league that also has Shohei Ohtani, to be doing this on a night-in, night-out basis is remarkable. I mean, you're really watching him be LeBron James, you know, sort of in the NBA Finals. That is a good comp, I think.
I don't want to sidetrack this conversation, but the kid who grew up a Yankee fan in the 70s in me wants to say, what do you mean Reggie Jackson isn't one of the 15 greatest players of all time? There have not been 15 greater sluggers in history. No way. In a pre-steroid era, Reggie Jackson was as dangerous a hitter as has ever lived, and in the biggest moments, he was at his best. Reggie Jackson won 2 World Series for the Yankees by being the scary. Reggie Jackson, when he struck out to end game 2 of the World Series in 78, the one where they went down 2-0, I forget who the pitcher was for the Dodgers, but he struck out. I can still see him smashing his bat in anger, in frustration. Those confrontations were made because of Reggie. I think Reggie, You could probably put a bunch of numbers, and you're going to give me numbers I don't even know about and care about, and where war and win shares and all these kind of things that suggest there were better players than him. There were not 15 greater players, in my opinion, position players in history than Reggie Jackson.
I mean, he's the only position player ever to win the World Series MVP more than once. So, I mean, he was I mean, he's nicknamed Mr. October for a reason. Yeah. But the better comparison, like, he's more like Derek Jeter than he is fill in the blank all time great that didn't have.
How many home runs did Reggie Jackson hit? 500 and something.
563.
That's a lot of freaking home runs. Greeny. Isn't that like Derek Jeter?
We've been playing baseball since the 1800s. If you're not one of the 20 best baseball players of all time, there's nothing wrong with that.
He is one of the 20 best baseball players.
He's not
players.
Close to that list.
He's way closer than Jeter is.
He and Jeter are very comparable. I think he and Jeter are very comparable. I'm not poo-pooing either of
the last know. Thing I ever want to do is get into a fight with you about baseball players historically, because no one is more armed in that fight than you are. But I watched Reggie Jackson play. I'm going to win this argument as we continue on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN, and also available wherever you get your podcast.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.